We're dealing with the council at Jerusalem, and we're dealing with the second half of it. A problem arose in Antioch. Some men came from Judea and were teaching the Christians in Antioch that it was necessary to be circumcised in accordance with the Mosaic law in order to be saved. Well, this false teaching resulted in a confrontation with Paul and Barnabas, as it should. If somebody were to come into our church and teach that, you can believe that it would result in a confrontation with our people. This false teaching resulted in a confrontation with Paul and Barnabas, and as a result, the church at Antioch determined that Paul and Barnabas and others should consult with the apostles and elders in the church at Jerusalem regarding this matter. While on their way to Jerusalem, Paul and his group passed through Phoenicia and Samaria, where they declared the conversion of the Gentiles, which brought joy to the believers. When Paul and his company arrived in Jerusalem, they were welcomed by the church, including the apostles and elders. And Paul and Barnabas reported on their missionary journey. Take note, there was no division between Paul, Barnabas, and the apostles and elders. In this meeting in Jerusalem, some saved Pharisees, they were Pharisees, they got saved, and their theology is not yet straight. All right? They'll get straightened out, maybe in this meeting. Stated that it was necessary that Gentiles be circumcised and keep the Mosaic law. As a result of their claim, the apostles and elders assembled to consider the matter. And after much discussion, Peter arose and reminded those present that God had saved Gentiles through his presentation of the gospel. Paul and Barnabas were then given opportunity to declare their experiences in proclaiming the gospel to the Gentiles, after which James, that would be the half-brother of the Lord Jesus, the pastor of the church in Jerusalem, addressed the assembly. Following the assembly, the apostles and elders sent Judas and Silas as representatives from the church in Jerusalem, along with Paul and Barnabas, to Antioch, along with a letter addressed to the Gentile brethren in Antioch, Syria, and Cilicia. We read the text. Then all the multitude kept silence and gave audience to Barnabas and Paul, declaring what miracles and wonders God had wrought among the Gentiles by them. And after they had held their peace, James answered, saying, Men and brethren, hearken unto me. Simeon hath declared how God at the first did visit the Gentiles to take out of them a people for his name. And to this agree the words of the prophets, as it is written, After this I will return and will build again the tabernacle of David, which has fallen down. And I will build again the ruins thereof, and I will set it up, that the residue of men might seek after the Lord, and all the Gentiles upon whom my name is called, saith the Lord, who doeth all these things. Known unto God are all his works from the beginning of the world. Wherefore my sentence is that we trouble not them which from among the Gentiles are turned to God, but that we write unto them that they abstain from pollutions of idols, and from fornication, and from things strangled, and from blood. For Moses of old time hath in every city them that preach him, being read in the synagogues every Sabbath day. Then pleased it the apostles and elders with the whole church to send chosen men of their own company to Antioch with Paul and Barnabas, namely Judas, surnamed Barsabbas, and Silas, chief men among the brethren. And they wrote letters by them after this manner. The apostles and elders and brethren send greeting unto the brethren which are of the Gentiles in Antioch and Syria and Cilicia. For as much as we have heard that certain which went out from us have troubled you with words, subverting your souls, saying, ye must be circumcised and keep the law, to whom we gave no such commandment, it seemed good unto us, being assembled with one accord, to send chosen men unto you with our beloved Barnabas and Paul, men that have hazarded their lives for the name of our Lord Jesus Christ. In verse 12, in the Jerusalem Council, Paul and Barnabas were given the opportunity to declare their experiences in proclaiming the gospel to the Gentiles. Then all the multitude kept silence and gave audience to Barnabas and Paul, declaring what miracles and wonders God had wrought among the Gentiles by them. Then transitions to the next thought in the sense of and or now. All the multitude kept silence as all the assembly or all the group kept silent and gave audience to Barnabas and Paul as and were listening to Barnabas and Paul. The tense of gave audience indicates continuing action in past time. Declaring is used in conjunction with Barnabas and Paul, meaning declaring or reporting or describing. What miracles and wonders is how many miracles and wonders God had wrought. It is God did. And it has been translated in a way which emphasizes the result of its action. God had wrought has been placed in a position of emphasis in the Greek text, which reads literally, and how many God did signs and wonders among the Gentiles through them. Among the Gentiles speaks of their missionary journey to Cyprus and present-day Turkey. By them, where them refers to Paul and Barnabas, is through them. They, meaning Paul and Barnabas, did not perform these miracles. God did. God was the direct agent, and he did them through Paul and Barnabas as his intermediate agents. Now, I'm sure that they had distributed notes, kind of like we do here, so that the people could take them home and study them. I know better than that, by the way. I'm just having some fun with you. In verse 13, James begins to address the assembly. What James said begins in this verse and concludes in verse 21. And after they had held their peace, James answered, saying, men and brethren, hearken unto me. And of course, transitioning to the next thought in the sense of then or now, after they had held their peace, they refers to Paul and Barnabas, it's after they stopped speaking or after they became silent. James answered, saying, refers to James, the son of Mary and Joseph, the half-brother of Christ. He was the pastor of the church at Jerusalem. You will remember that the apostle James, the son of Zebedee and brother of the apostle John, had been killed by Herod in AD 44. We say AD 44 because that's the year Herod died. This was nearly 5 years before the meeting of the Jerusalem Council, which is believed to have taken place in AD 49, after Paul and Barnabas' first missionary trip. Saying is used in conjunction with answered, indicating a fact in addition to answered. It's understood in the sense of James answered and said. He addresses his hearers as men and brethren. Men and brethren, or brothers, or brother men. Paul addressed the assembly with the same words in verse 7. Hearken unto me. It means hear me, or listen to me. Its tense indicates that its action was to be carried out at once and without delay. Verse 14 continues James' statement in verse 13. Simeon hath declared unto, or how God at the first did visit the Gentiles to take out of them a people for his name. Of course, Simeon is Simon Peter. Hath declared is related in detail, declared, told, or described, and it's been translated in a way which emphasizes the result of its action. It is referring to what Peter had said in verses 7 through 11. How God at the first did visit the Gentiles is how God first concerned himself. Remember, God is the one who sent Paul and Barnabas. God is the one who did the work. If there's any work being done in this church, and there is, it is God who is doing it. Okay? It is not our great teaching. It is God's word and God who's doing it. Put the emphasis where it belongs, please. How God at the first did visit the Gentiles is how God first concerned himself to take out of them a people for his name, is in order to take from Gentiles a people for his name. To take shows purpose. It is the reason he concerned himself about Gentiles. He also was concerned for you and for me, and he has provided for our eternal redemption. Out of them means from Gentiles. For his name represents God and all that he is and stands for. Inasmuch as his name represents God, it suggests that he took them out from the Gentiles for himself. This verse suggests that God took some Gentiles and made Christians out of them for himself. Making believers out of pagan Gentiles was God's doing. Making believers out of unsaved Americans like you and me was God's doing. Let's give credit where credit is due. It doesn't matter who explained the gospel to you. What matters is that God sent that person and God used that person to share the message with you, and God did the work in your heart and in your life. Verse 15 continues James' statement begun in verse 13. What Peter said is backed up by the Old Testament prophets, and it introduces a quotation from, in verses 16 and 17, from the book of Amos. And to this, agree the words of the prophets as it is written. James is supporting what he is saying by appealing to the scriptures. We who speak must always support whatever we say by what the scriptures actually teach and say. It is not our opinions you need. It is God's words you need. And continues the thought in verse 14, to this means with this. It refers to what Peter said. Agree suggests that there is no contradiction between what Peter said and the words of the prophets. Once again, it is the word of God through the prophets and through Peter that was used here. But it's the word of God. Although James will only cite one prophet, The fact that prophets is plural indicates that Amos was not the only prophet who had said similar things. As it is written suggests just as it has been written, or like it has been written. And it's been translated in a way which emphasizes the result of its action. And it introduces a quotation in verses 16 and 17 from Amos 9, 11, and 12. Amos 9, 11, and 12 say, "In that day will I raise up the tabernacle of David that is fallen, and close up the breaches thereof, and I will raise up his ruins, and I will bring it as in the days of old, that they may possess the remnant of Edom and of all the heathen which are called by my name, saith the Lord that doeth this." There you go. Saith the Lord that doeth this. It is the Lord's work. Now, verse 16 here in Acts 15 corresponds with Amos 9:11. And Acts 15, 17, that's the next verse, corresponds with Amos 9, 12. Verse 16 continues James' statement begun in verse 13, and it is referring to Amos 9, 11. "After this, I will return and will build again the tabernacle of David, which has fallen down, and I will build again the ruins thereof, and I will set it up." Now, I don't very often quote from a commentary, but I'm going to quote from the Believer's Bible Commentary here. It's an excellent commentary. If you want a one-volume commentary on the Bible, this is a good one. It does use the New King James translation, which isn't the worst thing in the world. Then James quoted from Amos 9, 11, and 12. Notice that he did not say that the calling out of the Gentiles was in fulfillment of the prophecy of Amos, but rather that it agreed with the words of the prophets. The assembly should not think it a strange thing that God should visit the Gentiles with salvation, because this had been clearly predicted in the Old Testament. God had foretold that Gentiles would be blessed as such and not as believing Jews. The quotation from Amos looks forward to the millennium when Christ will sit upon the throne of David and when the Gentiles will seek after the Lord. James did not intimate that this prophecy was being fulfilled at the time he spoke. Rather, he said that the salvation of Gentiles, which was then taking place, was in harmony or in agreement with what Amos said would take place later. James' argument was this: first, God would visit the Gentiles to take out of them a people for his name. This is what was then happening and is still happening. Converted Gentiles were included in the church with converted Jews. What was then happening on a small scale, meaning the salvation of the Gentiles, would later happen on a larger scale. Christ would return, would restore Israel nationally, and would save all the Gentiles who would be called by his name. James looked on contemporary events as God's first visitation of the Gentiles. He felt this first visitation was in perfect harmony with what Amos predicted, the future visitation of the Gentiles when Christ returns as king. The two events agree, though they are not identical. Notice then the order of events. The taking out of the Gentiles a people for his name during this present age of grace. That's the age we live in. the restoration of the believing portion of the nation of Israel at Christ's second advent, meaning at Christ's second coming. And then three, the salvation of Gentile nations following the restoration of Israel. These Gentiles are referred to as all the Gentiles who are called by my name. These number two and three here take place after the second coming of Christ. The first one is taking place today. We're part of that one. Now back to my comments. I'm done quoting the Believer's Bible commentary here. After this suggests, after God's judgment of Israel, I will return where I is Christ, as I will come back, and speaks of Christ's second coming. It is predictive of something which will definitely take place in the future. And I will build again the tabernacle of David, as I will build again the tabernacle or tent of David, and speaks of the reinstatement of the dynasty of David, which will rule over the entire world during the millennium. It is likewise predictive of something which will definitely take place in the future, which is fallen down, means which has fallen down or which has collapsed. And it is speaking of the existing situation with the tabernacle or tent of David. It's been translated in a way which emphasizes the result of its action. At the time James spoke, it was in a state of having fallen down or of having already collapsed. And I put the word already in there, but you can put it in there too if you want. I will build again. So we are in a state today where Israel basically, theologically or spiritually, has fallen down or collapsed. You don't see many Jews being saved in our churches. And it has been this way since AD 70, maybe even before that a little bit. I will build again is the same word used previously in this verse, which means I will build up again. Once again, it refers to Christ and is predictive of something which he will definitely do in the future. And what Christ will build up again is the ruins thereof, meaning the things of it that have been torn down or raised to the ground, where it refers to the tabernacle or tent of David. It will no longer be in ruins, but that's after the second coming. And I will set it up where I is Christ. And it refers to the tabernacle or tent of David is, and I will rebuild or restore it. Verse 17 continues James' statement begun in verse 13. This time it's referring to Amos 9:12. That the residue of men might seek after the Lord, and all the Gentiles upon whom my name is called, saith the Lord, who doeth all these things. That introduces purpose or intended result. It's hard to distinguish between God's purpose and God's intended result. In fact, I'm not sure we can always distinguish. If showing purpose, it's understood in the sense of in order that or for the purpose that. If showing intended result, it's understood in the sense of so that or with the result that. Now, you can wrestle with yourself which one of those you prefer. I prefer to accept both of them. That the residue of men is in order that or so that the rest or the remaining ones of humanity might seek after the Lord as might seek for or might search after the Lord in order to find him. Might seek after has been placed in a position of emphasis in the Greek text, which reads literally in order that or so that might seek after the rest of men, the Lord. And all the Gentiles, it is even all the Gentiles or nations. All the Gentiles refers to the residue of men, back about two phrases. Upon whom my name is called, which refers to the Gentiles, is literally upon whom my name is called upon them, means who are called by my name. We're called by the Lord's name, but we're not the ones in view in this verse. This is speaking of what's going to happen in the millennium. My refers to the Lord. Saith the Lord, who doeth all these things, indicates that the Lord is the one who is making these promises, and that he will also be carrying them out. Don't ever take God out of the picture. Verse 18 continues James' statement begun in verse 13. Known unto God are all his works from the beginning of the world. My Arlita told me either this morning or last evening, I don't remember which. Isn't it amazing that the God of the universe took a little boy from Illinois and matched him up 80 years later with a little girl from New York in Hendersonville, North Carolina, of all places? Yes, but it's true of you as well, just as it is of me. We understand that, but I think we sometimes forget to remind ourselves of things we really know. God has done a work in our lives and continues to do a work in our lives. Let's let him. Let's stay out of his way, serve him faithfully, but not try to get the credit or the glory for ourselves. Known unto God are all his works, indicates that God has full knowledge of everything he does. I can't even remember what I did earlier this morning. Can you? Well, you didn't know what I did earlier this morning, but that's not what I meant. All right, you know that. From the beginning of the world, it's from eternity. Known from eternity has been placed in a position of emphasis in the Greek text, which reads literally, known from eternity are to God all the works of him. There are no surprises. God knows what he's doing. And his plan is right on schedule, and that includes all the events that have happened in our country in the last couple of weeks. He's in control, don't forget it. He's in control of your life, even when it might seem like everything is out of control. And it does seem that way occasionally, doesn't it? Because we lose sight of the fact that God has us right where he wants us. Verse 19 continues James' statement begun in verse 13. Wherefore my sentence is that we trouble not them which from among the Gentiles are turned to God. Wherefore introduces a strong inference drawn from what James has been saying to the assembly. It's understood in the sense of therefore or for this reason. My sentence is, suggests I, James, judge, where I is emphatic. I judge that we trouble not, that we not cause unnecessary trouble, that we not cause difficulty for, or that we not annoy. Them which from among the Gentiles are turned to God is the ones from the Gentiles who are turning to God. It's an ongoing thing. Verse 20 continues James' statement begun in verse 13, but that we write unto them that they abstain from pollutions of idols and from fornication and from things strangled and from blood. But introduces a statement. Strong contrast to that we trouble not them, which from among the Gentiles are turned to God in verse 19. that we write unto them is that we inform or instruct them by letter, that they abstain, where they refers to saved Gentiles, is to avoid contact with, to keep away from, or to refrain from. Gentiles should refrain or keep away from pollutions of idols, meaning things polluted or contaminated by idols. It refers to things which would render them ceremonially impure. Jews would be sensitive about this. And from fornication, indicates another kind of pollutions that Gentiles should abstain from. Fornication is often misunderstood in our country because of teaching that went on a long time ago. It suggests sexual immorality of all kinds. It includes, but is not limited to, premarital sex. It also includes adultery, homosexuality, bestiality, etc., etc. All the things that the ungodly, unsaved crowd seem to want for themselves. I shouldn't say all, some. And from things strangled means from things choked to death. You see, Jews were forbidden to eat meat from animals whose blood had not been properly drained. Saved Gentiles should also abstain from consuming blood, as "and from blood" indicates. The reason for these statements in this letter is that their practices would really upset Jews. If Jews and Gentiles were to be found in the same churches, the Gentiles needed to be considerate of the Jews' way of thinking. This had nothing to do with the Gentiles' salvation. Clearly, they were already saved. But if there would be fellowship between the Jewish and Gentile believers, the Gentiles needed to avoid doing these things. Otherwise, the Jews and Gentiles would never get along with each other. Verse 21 concludes James' statement begun in verse 13 and provides the explanation of why the believing Gentiles should abstain from pollutions of idols and from fornication and from things strangled and from blood. For Moses of old time hath in every city them that preach him, being read in the synagogues every Sabbath day. Moses hath them that preach him, is Moses has the ones who are preaching or publicly proclaiming him. It means that there are those who are teaching the law which was given by Moses. Of old time is from ancient times or generations. In every city is simply city by city. Being read is used in conjunction with hath, indicating cause or a fact in addition to hath. If showing cause, it's understood in the sense of because he is being read. You notice the reading of the law in the synagogues was still going on, because the Jewish people were still practicing the law. If showing a fact in addition to hath, it is understood in the sense of and is being read. Its tense indicates that its action was ongoing and occurring at the same time as the action of hath. It means that the law being written by Moses was being read in the synagogues, wherever the Jews assembled, every Sabbath day, in every Sabbath, in every city. Jews would be found who had been taught throughout their lives that it was wrong to do these things that James warned against. It was wrong not only to commit immorality, but also to eat food offered to idols, meat from strangled animals, and blood. Gentiles who did these things would offend their Jewish brothers. They would also sin against God by committing immorality in spite of its prevalence among unsaved Gentiles. According to verse 22, the apostles and elders sent representatives from their church along with Paul and Barnabas to Antioch. Then pleased it the apostles and elders with the whole church to send chosen men of their own company to Antioch with Paul and Barnabas, namely Judas, surnamed Barsabbas, and Silas, chief men among the brethren. Then, is at that time, pleased it the apostles and elders with the whole church, is it seemed best or good to the apostles and to the elders with the whole church. Notice, this was a church decision, not just James' decision. The church decided to send chosen men of their own company to Antioch with Paul and Barnabas. Men is the term for adult males. They would choose these men. Of their own company is of them, and means that these chosen men were a part of the church at Jerusalem. To Antioch is to the church at Antioch, which had sent representatives to the church at Jerusalem for counsel concerning this matter of requiring Gentile converts to be circumcised and to keep the law. And they sent men with Paul and Barnabas, together with Paul and Barnabas. The representatives from the church at Jerusalem would be accompanying Paul and Barnabas as they returned from Jerusalem to Antioch. The two men chosen to represent the church at Jerusalem were Judas, surnamed Barsabbas, and Silas, chief men among the brethren. As indicated by the italics, namely has been supplied by the translators. Judas, surnamed Barsabbas, means Judas, the one called, or the one named Barsabbas, which means the son of Sabas. You've seen the word Ben and the word Bar. Both of them mean the son of, followed by whatever comes after Ben, like Benjamin or Barsabbas. And Silas, and by the way, we don't know anything else about Judas, surnamed Barsabbas, other than what is stated here. But Silas, we know a little bit about. Silas indicates a second representative of the church at Jerusalem. He would eventually accompany Paul on his second missionary journey. He was with Paul in Philippi, for example, was with Paul at night in the jail when the jailer got saved. He's also known as Silvanus, same man, known by two different names. He was Peter's amanuensis or penman in 1 Peter, in that he wrote what Peter dictated. Judas and Silas are described as chief men among the brethren, meaning leading men among the brothers. Once again, the term is for men as adult males. They were among the leaders in the church at Jerusalem. They were not apostles. We don't know if they were elders, but they were not apostles. Not only did they send representatives, but the apostles and elders also sent a letter unto the Gentile brethren in Antioch, Syria, and Cilicia. And they wrote letters by them after this manner. The apostles and elders and brethren send greetings unto the brethren which are of the Gentiles in Antioch and Syria and Cilicia. And they wrote letters by them unto this, or after this manner, where them refers to Judas, surnamed Barsabbas, and Silas, is having written through their hand these things. You suppose Silvanus or Silas actually wrote the letter? I wouldn't know. But when it says through their hand, I have to wonder what that means exactly. And they wrote, where they refers to the apostles and elders is used in conjunction with pleased in verse 22, and it's been translated as indicating a fact in addition to pleased. The apostles and elders and brethren send greetings, indicates to whom they and their refer. The apostles and elders and brethren represent the church at Jerusalem, as indicated by the italics. Send has been supplied by the translators. Greeting is how they began their letter. Unto the brethren which are of the Gentiles in Antioch and Syria and Cilicia, indicates the ones to whom the letter is addressed. Unto the brethren is to the brothers, and indicates that they are saved people or fellow believers. It's limited by which are of the Gentiles. Specifically, it means to the ones who are of the Gentiles. It's further restricted by in Antioch. This is Antioch in Syria, not Antioch in Pisidia. And Syria was where Antioch was located. Cilicia is today part of southern Turkey. It's a territory, if you picture the Mediterranean Sea, it's a territory located on the Mediterranean coast just west of the northeast corner of the Mediterranean. It is where Tarsus was located. The mention of Syria and Cilicia suggests that these Judaizers had spread their false message in these territories as well as in Antioch. It takes a long time for the truth to circulate. It doesn't take long for false teaching to circulate. I remember being in PE class in college when the first astronaut circled the Earth. Three times while we were digging our driveways out from a snowfall. Okay, that was what was said. We had a big snowfall at that time. That was in Illinois. I don't know what you had here in North Carolina. You probably had sunshine and 75 degrees. I don't really know. I wasn't here, and I really didn't have any idea what winter was like except where I grew up. And then I learned it was a little different farther south. Amazing. You've not been there in the middle of winter, and you can bless your righteous soul for that one. You can be thankful. It can be very uncomfortable. Verse 24 begins the content of the letter, which continues through verse 29. Now, we won't go that far. For as much as we have heard that certain which went out from among us have troubled you with words, subverting your souls, saying, ye must be circumcised and keep the law, to whom we gave no such commandment. For as much as we have heard, where we refers to the apostles, elders, and brothers in the church at Jerusalem, is since or because we heard. And it's been translated in a way which emphasizes the result of its action. And what they had heard is that certain which went out from us have troubled you with words, subverting your souls, saying ye must be circumcised and keep the law. That certain which went out from us is that some from us having gone out. It describes some. It's understood in the sense of that some who went out from us. Subverting your souls is also used to describe some, understood in the sense of who were subverting your souls. It literally means tearing down or dismantling, as if you would pack something up and make it ready. But when used figuratively, as here, it would suggest causing inward distress in the sense of upsetting or unsettling you. Your soul speaks of the believers deep within themselves. False teaching upset the believers spiritually. Well, what would false teaching do for you if somebody were to come in here and say that you had to be circumcised and keep the whole law in order to go to heaven? And you believe them? No, you'd probably throw them out because you believe what the Bible teaches, but it would not be something you want to be hearing in your church. Your soul speaks of believers deep within themselves. It means they were upset spiritually, saying what they were saying is, or who were saying is, ye must be circumcised and keep the law. Of course, circumcision was part of the law. Their false teaching means that Gentile converts must become Jews in order to be truly saved. It means that they needed to obey the entire law, including circumcision. As indicated by the italics, ye must has been supplied by the translators. To whom we gave no such commandment makes it clear that this false teaching did not come from the apostles, elders, and brothers in the church at Jerusalem. It is to whom we did not give orders. By this statement, it is clear that this false teaching did not have its source or origin in the apostles, elders, or members of the church at Jerusalem. Verse 25 continues the content of the letter sent by the church at Jerusalem. It will conclude in verse 29, but we're not going that far. It seemed good unto us, being assembled with one accord, to send chosen men unto you with our beloved Barnabas and Paul. The content of it is to send chosen men unto you with our beloved Barnabas and Paul, which actually functions in the Greek text as the subject of the verb translated, it seemed good. So the sentence reads in Greek, to send chosen men unto you with our beloved Barnabas and Paul seemed good to us. Where us refers to the apostles, elders, and brothers in the church. It seemed best to us, we decided or we resolved. Being assembled with one accord is used to describe us, and it's understood in the sense of to us who were with one mind, or to us who were unanimous. So what happened to these saved Pharisees who were saying that it was necessary for them to become Jews in order to be saved? Did they get convinced by what James said? Or did they walk out and no longer be a part of that group because the group is now of one mind? And the answer is simple. We don't know. We can only imagine what may have happened. What seemed best was to send chosen men unto you with our beloved Barnabas and Paul. Chosen men. It's been placed in a position of emphasis. It reads literally, chosen men to send to you. The fact that they were chosen indicates that they had been selected from among a number of men by the church at Jerusalem. Unto you refers to the Gentile brothers or believers in Antioch, in Syria, and in Cilicia. With our beloved Barnabas and Paul indicates that Barnabas and Paul were held in high esteem by the church at Jerusalem and were very dearly loved. There was no division between them. Verse 26 continues the content of the letter sent by the church. It concludes in verse 29. They're described as men that have hazarded their lives for the name of our Lord Jesus Christ. Men that have hazarded their lives refers to Barnabas and Paul, who are mentioned in verse 25. And it's the generic term for human beings that have hazarded their lives, or their souls rather. Why did I put souls there instead of lives? It's probably because that word means lives. I don't know. I'll have to think about that. I see a discrepancy there. Must be that something happened to my computer while I was typing. They have hazarded their souls. They've risked their lives. They've put their own lives in danger in order to proclaim the gospel. The tense of hazarded indicates that its action occurred in the past and that the result of its action has continued. Now, Paul and Barnabas were not the only believers who had risked their lives It's happened throughout the centuries, and it's happening yet today. Do you not realize that's what Charlie Kirk was doing? That's what he was. Do you think we're any different? As we proclaim the gospel, there are people led by Satan who would like to destroy us. Well, if God allows it, so be it. We hope he doesn't, because we'd like to continue serving him. But then again, we want his will more than we want our own, don't we? Yes, we do. For the name of our Lord Jesus Christ is on behalf of the name of our Lord Jesus Christ, or on behalf of our Lord Jesus Christ. As you know, his name represents himself and all that he stands for. It means the same thing as if they had written men who have hazarded their lives for our Lord Jesus Christ. Well, Paul and Barnabas were given opportunity to declare their experiences in proclaiming the gospel to the Gentiles, after which James addressed the assembly. Following the assembly, the apostles and elders sent Judas and Silas as representatives from the church in Jerusalem, along with Paul and Barnabas, to Antioch, along with a letter addressed to the Gentile believers in Antioch, Syria, and Cilicia. God was doing a mighty work there. And it's our prayer that God continues to do a mighty work in our local church. Let's pray together. Our Father, thank you for the privilege we have in studying this portion of thy word. Help us, our Father, to learn from it things that will be beneficial to us in our own lives and in our own church ministry. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen.